Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to another Daily Devotion. After a week off, it's great to be back together again. Great to pause for the afternoon and open up God's Word and see what He has to say. Well, I hope you had a blessed week last week. I had a good week. It was nice to be able to travel away, do a bit of church work down in Christchurch and spend a bit of time with my family up in Dargaville. But it's great to be back together and to open up God's Word. And we're heading back to 1 John. If you're tuning in for the first time, we've been working our way through the epistles from James onwards, and we find ourselves in John's first letter to the churches. And we're having a look at a little section, which we paused halfway through while I went away for a week. It was a section of if statements. We saw that there was a whole bunch of if this, then that, if this, then that, and we're up to verse 8. So if you've got your Bible there, you want to turn with me to 1 John, we're going to read here, but before I read, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray that as we read and as we think, that you would bless us with yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, 1 John, we're going to be looking at verse 5 and 8, primarily verse 8, but verse 5 reminds us of the context, reminds us of the foundation on which all of this is based. So John said in verse 5 that God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, there is an error which has been present since the Bible all the way through today. And it's an error, and it goes under lots of different names, and it takes lots of different forms. And it's really an error regarding who we are, or maybe less who we are, what we are. We were created perfect, of course, as humans. We were created perfect in the image of God. But from the fall onwards, that was no longer the case. From the fall onwards, we were sinners. And there's been some errors in understanding around that. And so you had the Pelagians, and the Pelagians believed that we are basically good. Human beings are good. They're born good. They're born without sin. And by acting, by sinning, they become sinful. And Augustine would fight against Pelagian and would argue that no, man is by nature sinful, and that our only hope is salvation in Christ. And then you had the semi-Pelagians who argued sort of in between. And there's quite a lot of semi-Pelagian views around in the church at present. And it's the idea that deep down inside of us, we are good, but we're just tainted, really. And it's fairly commonplace if you speak to people today, maybe less in the church, but if you think about the world, what is the world's teaching on humanity? The world's teaching is that deep down, humans are good. They just don't have good environments. And as foster parents, we hear this quite a lot in the church. Sorry, not in the church. In the social theory systems. And the social workers say to us, you know, that the children are inherently good. That they in themselves are good. And what they really need is the perfect environment. They don't need correction. They don't need discipline. What they need is the perfect environment. And if you give them the perfect environment, they will choose and do good. Funnily enough, a lot of these social workers don't have children. But if you've had children for very long, you come to understand very quickly, you don't need to teach your children to do sin, do you? Well, there's another form of this. It's a fraction different, but some people will say, yes, we're inherently evil. Yes, we are sinful. Yes, by nature, we are sinners. But once we're saved, that's no longer the case. Once we're saved, our sin is done away with, and we're perfect. Now, this is a narrow, I think nowadays it's less, but it's still out there. I've still met people who claim that they are perfect. And I guess my imperfect nature wants to see if I can poke holes in them and see if I can cause them to show that they're not perfect. But that's my own imperfection coming out. But what the problem is it's a problem of deception. John says, if we claim to be without sin, if we claim, and remember, he's addressing believers, he's not addressing non-believers, so he's not addressing the Pelagian who's saying that they're not sinners. He's addressing the perfectionist, like Wesley. One of the Wesleys taught in a thing called perfectionism, which claimed that we can obtain perfection in this life. But there's some more extreme than that claim that once you've received Christ, you are perfect. And John's writing to them. He's writing to those who would think that the sin has been done away with. He says, if you claim to be without sin, then you are deceived. Why are you deceived if you think you're without sin? What's the problem with believing you're without sin? Well, if you believe you're without sin, then, I mean, for starters, you're ignoring a huge portion of the scriptures. I mean, think about all the scriptures in the New Testament that talk about putting to death the deeds of the flesh and putting off the flesh and putting on Christ, putting on the fruit of the Spirit. There are all these passages which talk about striving for holiness and godliness and righteousness. Now, why would the epistle writers need to say those things if we were perfect once we've received Christ? Of course, it makes no sense, does it? But not only that, it actually undermines the teaching of the gospel. Because what is the teaching of the gospel? The teaching of the gospel is we need Christ to save us. Christ saved us, Christ saves us, and Christ will save us. It's a past, present, and future reality, and we need all three. But the perfectionist doctrine says, he saved us, therefore we're saved, therefore we don't need him anymore. I mean, if I don't have any struggles, if I'm perfect now, what do I need Christ for? I don't, do I? And I think experience, if we're honest, experience shows us that this is wrong. I mean, you don't have to be married for 15 minutes to see how sinful your heart is. Become a parent and have a toddler, and you will very quickly understand not just their sin, but your own sin, won't you? Sin is not something that disappears with salvation. No, rather, as Paul puts it, we are no longer under the authority of sin. We are no longer under the domain of the kingdom of darkness, but we are under the domain. We are slaves of Christ. Christ is our master and not sin. And we must be very careful that we do not deceive ourselves. And I don't think most of you listening to this and watching this, you probably don't run the risk of deceiving yourself into thinking that you're sinless. I think most of us, that's probably not a problem. But I think we can do this partially. And what I mean by that is we can run the risk of deceiving ourselves into thinking we're not really all that bad. And there's a number of ways we do this. One way we do this is by comparing ourselves to others. So you see on the news that someone has been caught abusing children. And you say, well, at least I'm not that bad. Or you hear of a marriage breakdown in the church and you think, well, at least I'm not that bad of a husband. Or you hear of a mother neglecting her children and you think, as a mum, you think, well, at least I'm not that much of a bad mum. And in comparing yourselves to others, you begin to console yourself for the sin in your own heart, and you say, well, I'm not really that bad. I'm not too hard of a sinner to save. But the problem is, we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. We need to hold ourselves to the standard of the glory of God. You remember what Paul says in Romans? He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fallen short of the glory of God. So we compare ourselves to the glory of God and say, okay, how have I done? And even the best mother in the world, they compare their mothering to the glory of God, to the most glorious mothering that could ever take place. You would recognize just how unglorious your mothering is. Or as a husband, or as a worker, or whatever life situation you find yourself in. Very quickly, when we compare ourselves to God's standard of glory, we come to realize just how sinful we are. And what that should do is drive us to Christ. You see, the problem of perfectionism is it doesn't drive us to Christ, it drives us inward. It drives me to myself because I'm perfect, I'm good enough, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm good enough, I'm not a sinner. Whereas a proper understanding of sin and its hold and our nature and what redemption and salvation means, that we're under Christ and yet wrestling against sin. And yet, wrestling to become more like Christ, striving with energy to follow Jesus. When we understand that properly, it drives us away from ourselves and it drives us to Christ Himself. And that's the point of the gospel, isn't it? The gospel is all about Jesus. The true teaching of the scripture is all about Christ, being dependent upon Christ, reliant upon Christ, coming to Christ for salvation, coming to Christ for transformation, coming to Christ to take us all the way home. And so, what we desperately need is to be really, really honest with ourselves. You know, John says in verse 8 here that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you remember King David's words after he sinned with Bathsheba, after he murdered Uriah? He wrote in the psalm, "Search me and try me." And it's almost like he asks God, he invites God to take the word of God and shine it upon his heart like a spotlight. Or maybe a different analogy. It's like he asks God to audit his life. You know, like who rings up the tax company and says, "Come and audit me." You know, no, David rings up God effectively and says, "God, audit my soul. Show me where I have transgressed. Show me where I have sinned. Search me and try me." Why? Because he wants to become more like God. And you and I need to do that too, don't we? We need the truth in us. We need to take the word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to shine it into our hearts, that we might be convicted of sin. And as we will see in verse 9 tomorrow, that we might respond accordingly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we are sorry if we've deceived ourselves in regards to our sinfulness in small ways or in large ways. And we pray that you would, by your word and by your Holy Spirit, convict us of sin so that we might become more like Jesus. Help us to depend upon him for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for coming and tuning back in with me again. For those of you who have tuned in, it's great to have you with us live or maybe watching afterwards. And I pray that the Lord would be with you. You'd have a blessed evening. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow afternoon. Same time, same place. Have a great night.